Hi, good morning, everybody. Malcolm and Tom, you ready? You ready to charge into this meeting?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so before we get started, I'd like to say Happy New Year to everyone coming back. And I'd like to ask Pat Lavin, our Chief Safety Officer, for today's safety contact.
Good morning. In the case of an emergency, we're going to egress through the main doors or through the closest emergency exit, which is illuminated by an exit sign. Those are located behind me. We're going to assemble on the lawn of the National Building Museum. An AED is available behind the guard station. Fire extinguishers are strategically placed throughout the building, and restrooms are past the guard desk on the left. Today's safety contact will be WMATA's anti-harassment campaign. WMATA continues to strive towards providing our customers with the safest environment possible. And at a time when there is a growing national conversation about sexual harassment prevention, we are pleased to work with advocates in our community to promote reporting of harassment when it happens on the system. To that end, Holly Curl, the founder and executive director of the nonprofit group Stop Street Harassment, has recorded a new station and bus announcement that our riders will begin to hear. Chris, if you could play it.
Welcome to Metro. We want your experience on board our trains and buses to be safe and free of harassment of any kind. If you experience harassment or witness it, we encourage you to report it to Metro Transit Police. It's easy, and you can remain anonymous if you wish. Call 202-962-2121, text MyMTPD, that's MYMTPD, or visit WMATA.com/harassment.
This announcement is a good companion to the poster campaign that is already on the system, and we hope it further deters harassment and encourages reporting. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Our first item of business is to approve today's agenda. Does anyone have any suggested changes to the agenda? Okay. Thank you. So the agenda is approved as presented, if there are none of those objections. Next is the approval of the minutes from previous meetings. Who was at previous meetings, since we have a new committee going here? Okay. So we're actually approving the Capital Program Planning and Real Estate Committee of October 12th and October 26th executive session in your motion. All in favor? All right. Any abstaining? I'm going to abstain since I wasn't there. Okay?
I guess I should abstain too. I wasn't there.
All right. All right. Thank you. But it still carries. All right, now that we have the committee's administrative business out of the way, I'd like to briefly discuss our agenda for this morning's meeting. We have two items before us, both seeking the committee's and ultimately the board's approval. Our first item is to authorize a joint development solicitation for land at the Dean Wood Metro Rail Station. The proposed joint development solicitation, which would build on studies conducted by the D.C.'s Office of Planning and Metro Planning Office and Metro's Planning Office, would align with the community goals for development around the Dean Wood Station. Staff is also seeking authorization to hold a public hearing on removing the surface parking lot at the station in order to allow for the proposed joint development. Next, the staff is seeking approval of the public hearing staff report for changes to Metro facilities at Bethesda, Silver Spring, and New Carrollton stations to connect to the Purple Line. It's my honor to turn the floor over to Ms. Albert to take us through the first item. Nina.
Good morning, committee members. Today we are presenting to the board a joint development solicitation approval for Deanwood Metro Station, as well as board approval for compact public hearing. Just some background on our efforts in the past. So as early as 1996, we have tried to offer this site for joint development. And at that time, we did not receive any responses. We tried again in July of 1999, and again, no responses. As part of our efforts to really bring value to our joint development properties and provide developers with more certainty as to what Metro would want to see at these properties. In June of 2013, we completed a Deanwood Metro Station Access Improvement Study. That study looked at how we would organize the site, and which portions of the site should be offered for joint development, how we would arrange replacement parking. And so it was an organizational effort to try and figure out what development could be accommodated. That has historically proven, providing these improvement plans to the development community has provided the development community more certainty and more understanding of what Metro's transit operational requirements are. So that is something that we are now putting in practice, and we do these types of studies every time as we're moving, before we offer a joint development solicitation. So now in 2017, we started to analyze the feasibility, both financial and operational, of doing joint development at Deanwood. And we looked specifically at the need for replacement parking. And so I'll go through today a discussion about parking, but in 2017 we did a parking customer survey to really understand what the behavior and response to different parking scenarios would be. So just a little bit about the site itself. The red box to the east side of the station is what we are looking at to offer for joint development. But what we own at the station as a whole are six bus bays, and that here is shown. This is sort of the bus loop, and then there's an embedded kiss and ride facility with approximately 20 parking spaces. So we are not looking to offer this portion of Metro property for joint development. There's also two station entrances, one on the west side of the station, and there's a pedestrian underpass that comes up into the station, and then one on the east side of the station. There is a 194-space park-and-ride lot, which is equivalent to 1.6 acres. The ridership at Deanwood is one of our third is our third lowest in the entire metro system. On average, we have 1,200 riders at Deanwood per day. And they arrive to the station through a variety of different means, approximately 40% walk to the station, 25% take Metro bus, another 13% either get dropped off by shuttle, by car, or arrive in some other mean, some other way, and 24% of these riders arrive by car. So before we look at any joint development solicitation, we first look to what the local jurisdiction wants and what their vision is for Deanwood. When we did our improvement plan back in 2013, we were working very closely with the district, and the district also published their small area plan. And I just want to share some of the main goals of the small area plan because it informs what we want to see at the station as well. The small area plan itself wants more neighborhood serving commercial uses. They would like to take promote redevelopment of vacant and abandoned properties into residential households to support retail and walkability. This is the district's words, not ours. And then also prioritize attractive pedestrian-friendly design and de-emphasize auto-oriented uses and surface parking lots. The community itself is also very in favor of development, and specifically some of the things that the community is looking for that is integrated into the small area plan is senior housing, mixed income housing, rental and home ownership, and commercial uses. They believe that development will activate the street and reduce crime in their neighborhood. And then they also desire, as do we, to see a connection between the Minnesota Avenue Metro Station and the Deanwood Metro Station, to make that walk, to make Minnesota Avenue more walkable and more pedestrian friendly and more activated. So Metro also has specific goals for this station, and this is really in terms of operational and ridership goals. As I mentioned, today we have approximately 1,200 weekday riders, and we collect $3,300 per day in fare revenue. When we looked at the development potential, as is currently contemplated by the district's comprehensive plan, if that were to be fully built out, our target in 2040 is to increase ridership at Deanwood by an additional 425 to 600 more weekday riders. That increase in ridership alone would generate an additional $250,000 to $1 million per year in fare revenue. This is a good thing. So when we looked at joint development specifically on Metro property, not looking at surrounding properties, we believe that the 160 residential units plus 10,000 square feet of retail, which I'll show you in a moment, could generate 129 new riders. So that joint development project by itself would move us, it would start to achieve 21 to 30% of that 2040 goal. So Metro can itself take some action in promoting ridership at Deanwood. The other goals that we have for a joint development at Deanwood would include improving pedestrian and bicycle connections around the station, also reducing crime in the station area, of course maximizing real estate revenue, and then if we, through compact public hearing process, ultimately the public and the board were to decide that it wanted to reduce the parking footprint, we could also be reducing Metro's expenses. Okay. So for joint development, the 2013 study did not consider reducing significantly the existing parking. Instead, it studied ways to accommodate some replacement parking. So they analyzed a ratio of less than 1-for-1 replacement parking and instead replacing 150 out of 194 parking spaces. With that parking garage, the site could still accommodate 138 residential units and 10,000 square feet of residential. Most recently, we've looked again at the utilization of Deanwood, of the Deanwood Park and Ride. And given the low level of utilization, we analyzed the scenario of having no replacement parking, which would generate more residential units, 160 residential units, and the same 10,000 square feet of retail. So the critical question here is, what do we do about parking? So in June of 2017, we went and surveyed the average of 70 parking customers per day and said, what would you do if we were to significantly reduce or eliminate parking at Deanwood? We learned that a majority of those parkers are from Prince George's County, and they're just coming to the closest point in the district to access Metro. And that if we were to remove parking at Deanwood, they would, 55.5% would park at a different station, most likely at Chevrolet, Minnesota Avenue, or Addison Road, depending on where their point of origin, where their home was. So we would retain 55.5% of our existing Metro riders if we were to eliminate parking at Deanwood because they would park elsewhere. 26% of those surveyed said that they would arrive by some other means, by bus or walking. And only 18.5% said that they may choose not to use Metro at all. If they couldn't have parking at Deanwood, they may be a lost customer. So we analyzed all of that. What would be the impact of our losing 18.5% of 70 parkers? What would the revenue be? So given that, and we'll look at the chart here, this is what our current revenue is, this net revenue. This includes not only the parking revenue that we receive, but also the rail and or bus revenue that we receive. So we would lose $112,000 a year. And then I mentioned that 55.5% would stay and 26, you know, would continue to be parkers. So we would get from them rail and or bus revenue plus parking revenue. And then 26% said that they would come by bus or walk. So we would lose the parking revenue, but we would maintain their fare revenue. So with that, 80% or so of retained Metro riders, we would have approximately $90,000 per year. And then from the 129 new riders, because of joint development, because they live on top of the Metro, basically, that new ridership revenue would be approximately $200,000. So net revenue is positive. Even if we were to lose the parking in its entirety at Deanwood, we would still come out ahead by moving forward with joint development. So our recommendation is to move forward with a compact public hearing that gets community feedback and impact to a proposal to offer no replacement parking at Deanwood if we were to move forward with joint development. So this is an estimated project timeline. These are not hard dates, but it gives everybody a sense of how long and what influences the timeline for delivering these projects. So the Metro solicitation and variety of approvals and negotiations with the developers takes approximately 20 months from a time that we would hold the compact public hearing, get feedback on that, issue a joint development solicitation, negotiate with the developer, and bring that back to the board for approval. And then it would be in private hands, and, you know, if I build some contingency into that in about 2 years from now, and the private development process in and of itself, between their needing to, do design, entitlement, pre-development planning, construction, and then opening, is approximately 48 months or 4 years. This is, just for information, a natural real estate cycle, about 7 years. So this can be compressed if the developer is able to move faster, but it could expand a little bit. Again, it's very difficult to anticipate market conditions. So with that, I will answer any questions that the committee may have.
All right, any committee members have questions for Nina? Tony?
Thanks, Nina. This looks like a potential win-win, clearly for WMATA, the district, and the community. My understanding is that there's a proposal within the processes, the district government, to increase density on the site, which I think will be important both for local community objectives, because, of course, increased density will allow and better enable mixed use, and, of course, but good for WMATA also, because we do have skin in the game with this site, and so that would potentially increase the value of our participation. What's the schedule for that? Those district decisions?
Yeah. So the District of Columbia right now, back in 2017, asked the community and property owners at large across the district to provide any input or amendments that they would like to propose for amending the comprehensive plan, the district's comprehensive plan. That process is being vetted right now, so all the applications have been received, and the District of Columbia, as I understand their schedule, would make final determination of what amendments they would adopt no later than summer of 2019. That's their schedule. We have taken a position as to what we would like to see at Deanwood Metro Station. So right now, the site is zoned for commercial development, and also local public facilities, which WMATA transit facilities are. What we would like to introduce is residential facilities in addition to the commercial that's permitted. So we've gone ahead and submitted our amendments to that. I think that was done in June or early fall of 2017, and we'll wait to hear back from the district. What's interesting and very encouraging to me is that the local community, there's several business and residential groups. There was one other amendment put in for the Metro Station site itself by a community group that reflected the exact same proposal and mix of uses as well as density as what WMATA is supporting.
So my assumption is 2019 would be DC Council action?
Correct. That's what I think that the Office of Planning is moving toward.
Well, have we gotten any feedback from Office of Planning staff on our proposal?
Have not yet, no. I mean, they've reviewed it, they've acknowledged that they've received it, but they haven't talked to us about it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Tom, I believe you had a question.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. Nina, could you go back to the first slide for the overview of the station?
Yes.
Okay, so on the left is the station, and did I hear you correctly that there's some minimal amount of parking inside that donut?
Correct. So this is the bus bay area,
uh-huh.
And then right here, nested inside of that, right off of Minnesota Avenue, is a Kiss and Ride. So people, as you can see, the Kiss and Ride is not used that much, but this is space that if we found that we needed to accommodate more parkers or, you know, there is room with the remainder and the balance of the site that we own to adjust those facilities to accommodate current trends.
And so there's also room on the east and the west side in the green inside the metro station. What's that, just grass?
Yes, this is grassy area just right here. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Right here, yeah. These two areas inside, all of this land basically that falls inside this bus loop is what we own.
Could that be converted to parking if we needed it?
It could be converted to parking if we need it. Right now, how that bus loop is, how that Kiss and Ride is used, at this station in particular, there's quite a bit of drop-off activity. Mm-hmm. So right now, that Kiss and Ride, like many of our Kiss and Rides, are being used as, you know, all kinds of,
movements.
Drop-off. Yeah.
Okay.
So we would need to determine whether or not it made more sense to make that a fixed mm-hmm. and dedicated parking lot, or if it makes more sense to keep it as drop-off area.
Okay, final question. What is the square to the right?
The red one?
No. To the right of the station, there's a square
That's
dark. Mm. Yeah, what is that?
This right here or this?
That.
This is a field.
A field.
Yep. So the District of Columbia recently built a new recreation center, community uh-huh. recreation center that includes a library mm-hmm. As well as community center. And so this actually, or if we were to move forward with joint development as we've proposed, would help not only support those public services, but would also start to infill other uses that are complementary to public uses.
Oh, so I lied. What's the facility to the north of the field? What is that?
That's part of the community center.
Okay,
so
thanks.
One part is the enclosed portion of the community center and library, and then this field is related to it as a rec center, basically.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank
you. Malcolm. Yep. My mic's not on, but it's a beautiful facility, too, Tom.
So it's Prince George's County people.
No, that's District of Columbia, but it's close to where I live.
I know.
Very close.
I'm glad.
So this, I'm excited about
Hello? Yep. All right. Yeah, I think that this is an exciting, development, and I have absolutely supported, and I appreciate the fact that we are looking at us as a transit system. I know we're here talking about the real estate, but that transporting people and getting more people to be able to get transported by increasing density, as my colleague mentioned, around this site is very, very exciting. I think that that's exciting, and it's exciting for us, particularly as I said, this is the station next door to mine. As we go out, with what you are asking, the authorization that you're asking from us, if you, dependent on the feedback that you receive from the public, will there be room for some modification on the parking based on the framework that you're asking for us to give to you, authorization that you're asking for us to give to you today?
Yes, there will be. So we'll go to the public in a compact public hearing. This is our first blush at an analysis of what we think we should do with parking at Deanwood long term. But, the public, as they have input into how they use that lot, what they need, et cetera, we will come back to the board with a report, a detailed report about what community had to say about removal of parking. And if there's an alteration to that plan, right now we're talking about zero replacement parking, but if there were to be an alteration, that would be before the board for discussion.
And so if I'm understanding that as the agreement is being formulated and being worked on, we're going to be able to do some things kind of concurrently that will keep this process moving ahead. I think that's great. I mean, is that part of the idea of bringing the two pieces together now?
Correct. Right now, this is the authorization for these two components. It doesn't mean that we're delivering everything all at once. But I do think that we can structure a joint development solicitation to consider both options and have developers prepared for either case. And in fact, there have been a number of projects in the past where we've made bidders aware that there's an alternate solution. I think we can go ahead and put out the joint development solicitation to generate interest in the market now, hold the compact public hearing, any interested bidders can have the benefit of hearing what the public's concerns are so that they themselves might generate some solutions to the problem. But we would not close out and select a developer until after we knew what the ultimate parking answer is.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? Thank you. All right, so let's ask for a motion to approve the Deanwood proposal, and then we'll move on to the Purple Line issues. May I have a motion to approve this?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, thank you. And Craig, you're going to take us through the John, okay. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Public hearing for the Purple Line. That's odd, yes. So we're here to seek board approval for the final public hearing staff report and make amendments to the adopted regional system. Just as a quick background, the Purple Line is going to travel between Prince George's and Montgomery County. It will start at New Carrollton and end at Bethesda, and it's going to touch us at New Carrollton, College Park, Silver Spring, and Bethesda stations. At three of those stations, there will be changes that require us to have a public hearing. At Bethesda and Silver Spring, we will get new entrances, and at New Carrollton, we're going to see a reduction in parking. Briefly, at New Carrollton, this is a reconfiguration of the what we call the north bus loop and kiss and ride and parking area to allow accommodate the Purple Line. Purple Line is sort of along the middle of that graphic, and all of our facilities sort of in the gray area that are reconfigured to accommodate the addition of the Purple Line station at New Carrollton. At Silver Spring, a lot more involved with the building of a new entrance over the south end of that platform to allow for a connection to the Purple Line, which is on the other side of the Silver Spring Transit Center, on the east side of the Silver Spring Transit Center. And then at Bethesda, Bethesda's underground station, at the south end of that station, there will be a new Purple Line entrance. You can see here it'll involve a series of elevators. Contractors out there are actually excavating of those now. Purple Line station will be in the Capitol Crescent Trail tunnel. It's underneath the building that's there at the corner of Wisconsin and I think Montgomery. Pardon me? Elm Street. Thank you. So we'll get a new entrance there. Fortunately, the people who were designing Bethesda back in the day had anticipated something at that end of the station, so we actually have knockout panels behind the station vault walls, so it'll be easy to take those out. And part of the cavern for this tunnel has already been built, so it'll be easier for that to take place in that circumstance. So we were here at the board in October asking for approval to hold a public hearing. We had the public hearing on December 5th. One person testified in person. During the comment period, 300 people sent comments. Some people sent in one comment, some sent none, some sent several. We did not get any feedback from any local, state, or federal agencies. We prepared, as we typically do, as a public hearing staff report that went through all the comments and provided feedback to those. We then sent that report out for review for the public. We got three comments on the staff report, and we prepared a public hearing staff report supplement to address the comments that we received. This is sort of a summary of the feedback that we got. I want to point out that the most negative comments or the biggest opposed to the changes is the next to the last line on the bottom. You can see that there was quite a lot of turnout for people who use that north parking lot at New Carrollton. So about 95% of the feedback we got specifically about the elimination of the parking at New Carrollton were opposed to that. But by and large, people provided a lot of support for the proposed changes to the stations. Other than that, the primary thing at New Carrollton seemed to be that people drove to that side of the station And if we, you know, we're not eliminating all the parking, but if they get there and there's no parking available, they have to drive around to the other side, and that'll add, you know, 10 to 15 minutes to their commute is the essence of the feedback that we got. But notwithstanding that, we believe it's the right thing to do to move forward with all the changes as currently proposed. So the staff is recommending that the board approve the final public hearing staff report that reflects those changes and amend the regional system to incorporate those facilities into our system.
Any questions? Okay. And Tom, just to reiterate, there will still be plenty of parking at New Carrollton. However, some of those spots are across the street.
That's correct. In fact, part of the negotiations with the state could result in us getting another parking lot on the south side as compensation for the removal of the parking on the north side. So we could be made almost completely whole depending upon what we can actually get on that lot that the state is proffering.
Thank you. Any other questions? May I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. With no other business to come before the committee, we stand adjourned. Thank you.